Good morning. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Chris and Lori.
Chris and Lori, welcome.
Thank you. Happy Monday.
Thank you. Same. So what's on your mind?
What chapter of your book talks about getting 3 more hours in every day?
segmentation, fewer clients. It's the only way.
Well, our mantra has been the statement you made probably 3 or 4 calls ago, that the secret of supernova is a lot of hard work, but it gets more normal, or it gets more, you get used to it.
Right.
And that's kind of I think we swallow this watermelon, and every week we digest a little bit more. So this is the week where our intern is actually using the 24-month calendar to prepare the next 6 months' worth of agenda. So if we've slipped on agendas for people who are the last half of the week. So we're getting the agendas out for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday calls, and then it's very normal for Thursday, Friday calls not to have agendas. So once we did the 24-month calendars, then the script was there for the intern to start. I went through and said, always start with your agenda first, always end with next month, and put the 1 or 2 things on the 24-month calendar as items 2 and 3. And so that's going to be very helpful as we move forward. And here's the coolest thing I learned about Supernova, Rob, is 3 times a year, you end the month with 3 fifth days.
Right.
Today, tomorrow, and Wednesday is a fifth Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I have no meetings.
Yeah, we call them a 5-week month. Yeah, January, April, July, and October.
It snuck up on me, and I'm behind on the follow-up, so, these 3 days is when I hope to get through the majority of the follow-up. We're still working through the closet. It's taken a lot more time than we thought, but it's moving forward.
So you're actually segmenting.
So the way that we set it up is I've got somewhere between 67 and 70 Supernova clients. There's 2 or 3 on the end that we haven't finalized. Lori's actually only going to be picking up with about 30 or so.
Yeah.
And then and that's where all the capacity comes from. So we've got a pipeline. Oh, matter of fact, we need to get our game board set up this week. We ordered our game board. It's in.
Okay.
But the capacity is going to come from taking Lori from 30 to 70, but we still have 40 or so in the closet.
Less than that now.
Probably less than that.
30.
And some are conversations that need to be had to move them away. Some are clients that we don't know anything about, and we at least want to introduce them to the plan, give them the opportunity to get on board. And we've had some good new Supernova clients that are working through the closet.
Okay, good.
And then the only other thing, and I think time's going to happen, so I met with number 68 or 67 this last week, and I kind of issued the plan. They said, that's great, as long as, you're our guy, we're happy. And that was the one I wanted Lori to take immediately after that. So I said, no worries, that's the case. I'm going to let Lori do the next 2 calls with them and just kind of present it as a, hey, we're both here, we're both servicing your account, and see how, I think once she's had 2 calls with them, they're going to be fine, and they're not even going to think about me at that point. So now we're actually already, Rob, getting into the transition of how do we take number 68, 69, or 70 in my book and make it number 1, 2, or 3 in Lori's book. So we're already hitting that just a few months into the process.
That's really good. That's good. It's a process, and that's exactly what it is. It's forever. People say, well, when do you segment again? I said, you're really constantly segmenting. If you wait too long, then you've got a big problem. You've got a lot of work to do. Rather just deal with it monthly and really stay with it.
Yeah.
So that So it's all good news from you guys.
It's just digesting and absorbing and getting a little better each time.
Yeah, other than no sleep, it's a...
Well, it's so I've been asked a lot about this. You know, how's it going? And I said, well, excuse me, believe it or not, I'm eating breakfast today. I mean, at 11 o'clock, I'm eating breakfast, but the, I said, I used to
lose...
Oh,
my, actually.
Okay. I told people, I said, I used to lose sleep because I didn't know I knew I was unaware of things happening in clients' accounts because there was so much stuff happening. We had too many clients. And that's what kept me up at night, as well as talking to a large client, promising them something and being so busy I can't get to it. I said, that worry's wrong. I said, my worry's not over either of those things because we're talking to everybody. We're meeting with a large clients on a regular basis. We're doing everything. It's just keeping up with the pace. I mean, that's a totally different type of stress. And actually, it's a better type of stress than the previous. So that's going well.
Was that Lori? No.
No. I don't know if Paul's right. Paul on now in that group.
What's that?
Oh, Paul's on.
I'm here. I'm just lurking.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm good. Good. I hope everybody's okay.
Good.
So, Paul, what's on your mind?
Well, let's see. I think Roger Federer is the greatest athlete of all time. I'm speaking about that. And Auburn's in the top 10 in basketball. That's a good. That's been on my mind. That's kind of good. And we just had a really good month. One of our best months ever. So,
wow.
So that's good. Other than that, just ready for it to get warmer. So I can go fishing.
Yeah, I know. Well, how's Supernova?
Supernova is like turning around a aircraft carrier instead of a speedboat. So it's going slow. Travis is, Pam has been working really hard getting us all the folders we need and working right now trying to get us on the call cycles. What we have decided to do is segment our book give away. We've been giving away some funds, but we're not, ready to say if they got less than $1 million, we're going to boot them. So, we it got more butlers than we should. So we're going to segment them and the ones we need to call once a month, we call once a month. And some people may only just contact once a year and we're going to let them know that. But the ones we're doing once a year, they've got to be in a management program, basically like firm discretionary, UMA, where it's on robo advisory.
Mm-hmm.
And they know to call us if they got a question.
And I don't want to be a smarty pants, but let me put those people in there that you're you don't mind losing. Okay?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of acquisition, Paul, how was the year and how are you doing on that side of things?
We picked up a few, the clients we picked up were, mainly $1 million accounts plus, we picked up a few that were 500 to a million. But nothing less than that. We've had people come and ask us to handle our account. We have to, we have gotten to where we learned to tell them no.
Okay.
What's that?
Were you?
Yeah.
So were you up this year?
Up in assets. We were flat in revenue, but that's because we've got about a bond account of about $150 million that we manage not on a fee basis but on a trade basis because we're always doing is treasuries. And, they just didn't have many maturities. They'd only deposited $8 million into the account this year. So that activity was down from the previous year. But, you know, if you take up that outlier of, you know, that one account, then, yeah, we were up for the year, both in assets and production.
Good. Any challenges that you face right now that would be relevant to this discussion or anything that we could help with?
Well, you know, I'm making Travis the manager, and Travis is going to be in charge of like having us a meeting every month. I mean, every week on Monday or so, and you know, so everybody gets a good feel of what we're working on, what we got in the pipeline, what new money we've got coming in, what money's going out the door, which we hope is zero, and so that we are, you know, what we're planning to do for marketing. And like I told, you know, Lewis, I said, look, you know, every day I want you to make one prospecting call. I don't care if they hang up in your face. I want you to find some rich guy to call one a day. And, you know, one CPA meeting at least once a week. But then new money comes from mainly from continues to be from doing financial plans, which we do a lot of.
That's great.
I just got notified I'm going to be on the Forbes inaugural list of best advisors in the country, so we were honored and happy to hear that.
Wow.
Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations. That's a real honor. That's nice. You want to...
open up that when that comes out, we don't have to do shit anymore. It's just going to like...
That's it. Just lay back and the money's going to roll in, right?
We're just like floating down the river in a boat and everybody's on the bank waving money to throw it in.
Well, it may not be quite that way, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt on, so make sure you do some smart things marketing-wise with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how to do that. I don't know how to do it. I mean, you know, our hands are so tied by corporate compliance, you just really can't do anything. I mean, I used to write a letter in a neighborhood magazine, an article, and it got to where it was just such a pain trying to get them to approve it, and they wouldn't approve it, and it would just be nothing, you know, just an article about RMD or something like that. And I've had a lot of people call me up and tell me to enjoy the article, but you know, it just got to be such. The company, in my opinion, Morgan Stanley, is an obstacle to growth, not a engine or fuel for growth. It is an obstacle.
Well, you can do some things on LinkedIn, and you can brand yourself with that Forbes identity. That you can get, you can do that.
Well, I'd be happy to entertain any ideas you had when we Forbes list comes out about how we can market that. Because that's to me, you know, that's something that's worthwhile marketing.
I think you can, you should have the, have your team, you know, get the article and copy it, you know, get it framed, put it in your office, where the clients can see it. You want to put it on LinkedIn. You want to use LinkedIn as, you know, you can do articles on LinkedIn, but they have to be approved or they have to be their articles. So LinkedIn is a great way to network. Facebook is a great way to highlight your team as a philanthropic team. So you want to use Facebook, you know, the background, they call it the wallpaper of Facebook can be something that you guys got engaged with, whether it was a walk or a run or some charitable organization that you supported. And then you can put in articles about what you're doing in the community and how much you're contributing. And that's a really smart way to go. And that makes people see you as a real contributor and member of society. Facebook is pretty cluttered these days. Unfortunately, I think they're going to clean it up a little bit, but it is a good way to get your brand out there, and it's also a very interesting way to keep up with your clients in terms of, you know, in about 3 minutes prior to a meeting, you can go on Facebook and if your client, if your friend is your client, and get caught up on their family and their kids and where
yeah,
they
yeah,
been.
We do that.
Yeah,
we do. I try to make a friend on Facebook.
Yeah, that's really smart. That's really smart. You don't have to post much. You can just, you know.
Never post.
I never post.
Unless it's like an article, you know,
like a
Wall Street Journal article or something.
Yeah.
That's
smart.
What is that? What are you laughing about? You think I post? What have I posted?
That's all the time.
I posted the Roger Federer's the greatest athlete of all time, but that was an article on the USA Today. It wasn't mine. I was just sending it along. Sharing it. That's what you call it. Sharing. It's called sharing.
Yeah.
I was sharing.
Yeah.
I was sharing.
Okay.
Not posting. Posting when you put pictures of yourself over there that nobody cares about looking at and nobody cares about what you're doing. I don't do that.
Chris, how do you use LinkedIn and Facebook?
I use neither. I mean, Lori's very active personally on those. And I think we all have LinkedIn profiles that we keep up to date. But we have, you know, we're at a place right now, I'm happy to say that, you know, we're always going to take the right clients in, but it's just never been an obstacle and never been a cause. And so we're just so busy. It's tough for us to find another avenue. And we're trying to meet face-to-face meetings for us are so powerful. We just don't, we make sure our LinkedIn is accurate and up to date and refreshed periodically, but I don't do anything on either side.
Yeah. And the Facebook is right. Paul's right. It's a great way to get you ready for that meeting where you don't have to spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes getting caught up on the family. I mean, if you keep up with your clients on Facebook, and it doesn't take, you just put their name in and it gives you everything they posted for the last whatever, you can, in 3-5 minutes, you can get caught up on every place they visited and every, you know, all the grandchildren and everything else. So it's a very efficient way to keep up with your clients' personal lives, which they very much appreciate, by the way, if you when you meet with them. And so I didn't think of that. One of my clients here in Supernova told me that's how they used it, and I said that's brilliant. You know, that's really smart. In terms of bringing in new business, I don't think it's particularly good, and I think LinkedIn is much better, but it's one of those things that you really, you know, if you want to network a particular niche and you're very interested in, let's say, biotechnology scientists, and you have several of them, it's an easy way to get connected to more of them. So whatever niche you're picking on, it's a great way to link with that particular niche and get introduced fairly easily to a group of people that you may be very specific. But, you know, I've gotten some business from it over the years, but I don't prospect it either. I just really use it. But I have a guy that's his primary and almost sole way of prospecting. And it's been quite successful. So it's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do this game.
Yeah.
He's just young and, you know, and he likes that. And so it's his cold calling. He just makes, you know, 250 connections a week. So it's amazing. Yeah, it's, it's going to be, it's pretty interesting. Okay. So in terms of business planning, have you done your business plans? Do you want to talk about them? Is it something that you need some help on? Where are you in terms of planning the year, and how much planning have you done? And I'll start with Chris.
So I usually love doing the planning. I still do. I just said usually. I love setting up business plans, setting goals. I have weighted Morgan Stanley updates your previous year on the scorecard in the second month of the year. So I'm trying to waste that complete summary package to sit down and do it. And the fact that the January has started out with such a bang. We have not slowed down a bit from the 3rd of January till today. So we will, we're going to put some time aside to sit down and go through the plans, but have not done it yet. I think really now there's a much better focus, such a small group of people. We've already started getting referrals, and like Paul, we've got a lot more referrals with clients we can't take. But we've also gotten more referrals from clients that we can take. So mm-hmm. if we just put a little bit more effort into soliciting those referrals and thinking through the best way to ask with the book that you gave us or we ordered, I think we're going to even produce more fruit. And we've gotten our first COI referral. I mean, the COI meetings have been something that is another digestion issue. Had more mm-hmm. fun. By meetings than anything we first started, and then as the calendar got packed, it became a little bit more tough to do the COI meetings. And really, what's happened is our closet meetings. You know, I hate to say fill or kill. We used to call it fill or kill years ago. But you know, the
meetings,
the person's either going to somebody else. Those have taken precedence because we want to work through the closet and get down to where we just have. You know, one clean book, one clean calendar, and so I think the COI will kind of take off after we get to the closet.
Okay, and you had success with the COI, right?
Yeah, I had a lot of success.
What did you do?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about this, Paul, is what you and I are going through, what Lori and everybody are going through with Supernova, CPAs, attorneys, business consultants. They have the same issues we do. And so we found ourselves talking about our process and what we're doing, and then we found out that our COIs were just as interested about hearing about it for their own business. And it wasn't, there was one attorney that I worked with that we met three times before he said, well, here's how I will refer somebody to you. So, I mean, we didn't purposely get into that. We'd known each other years ago, and we're kind of catching up first couple meetings, but he is the CPA of two of my largest five clients, and I actually just referred one of my top 10 to him because she knew him. And so we've opened that door up. But it's just really more of a business management, how we run our practice, and they ask a ton of questions. And then we start talking about, you know, how do we hand clients off to one another and where what's our ideal client and all that kind of stuff.
And you were using the enthusiastically endorsed question, right?
Yeah, and I told them all about that, especially if they were enthusiastically endorsed. That's a great intro. So there's a couple of estate attorneys in town and one business, I don't know what it's called, a business valuation consultant, whoever helps people sell their business, business broker. So I would send a note or an email to everybody who was enthusiastically endorsed and say, hey, by the way, we have a mutual client in Mr. and Ms. Smith. They have, you know, here's what I did. They enthusiastically endorsed you. I asked them if it was okay if I reach out to you. So I want to introduce myself maybe in the first quarter of this next year. Let's grab a cup of coffee and learn a little bit more about each other's practice. So that's an easy introduction. And if a client, if a big client and a profitable client for them is talking good about them in the community, that's the best way to get in front of somebody.
Yeah. And remember, you can also use that to teach the client, the center of influence, how to get introductions for you. Don't forget that second half of the enthusiastically endorsed piece. And I think most people forget that. Did you remember that, Chris?
You know, I do, but I'd love to hear you say it again just to make sure.
No, no. Well, it's the piece where, you know, you've given him two or three, maybe even just one introduction, and he goes, you know, I just have trouble getting introductions, or you just simply want to teach him how you get introductions. And you say, well, we use the enthusiastically endorsed model. And he says, what's that? Well, we ask our clients, can you, and our friends, and anybody that I meet, I ask them, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, attorney, business broker, etc.? And they tell me, and you're going to get a positive, a negative, or a neutral. And most of the time, it's going to be kind of neutral. And occasionally, it's very positive, and occasionally, it's very negative. And that's where you can take action. When it's very positive, you clearly want to meet that person. And when it's negative, it gives you an opportunity to introduce myself or one of your enthusiastically endorsed providers. So, Mr. CPA, for example, you would ask your client, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And he said, no, I hate him. And you would simply say, Mr. Center of Influence, you'd simply say, would you be open to meeting someone that is enthusiastically endorsed and that I personally know? And the guy would say, sure, I'd love to. And then you introduce him to me. And the thing that you realize is, well, you think, well, you've got 100 clients to ask that question to. Not really. You know, everybody knows. I mean, there's no reason you can't, in conversation, it sounds kind of crazy that you'd have this conversation, but you could, with any business person, ask that question. So you have really an unlimited number of people to ask that question. So anybody that you think is qualified, but might not, they don't do business with you, say, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And they said, why do you ask that? Because I'm always trying to connect people. And I've got a fabulous guy that I've been working with that people really love and trust. And they go, wow, that's really interesting. So, I mean, you could have that conversation on the golf course, anywhere, in fishing. And it's not a crazy conversation. It's actually pretty logical. You've got a group of guys and gals that you enthusiastically endorse that are part of your trusted group of professional providers, professional service providers. So see how that would work, Paul and Chris?
Yep. Yeah. I like it.
Well, I mean, the key is to use it, of course. Now, how about asking the questions, how about asking the value question at the end of a meeting? Have you used that?
Nope.
I have not yet. I have plans to.
Okay.
I have not.
Okay. So it's really, all right, shall we go over that again?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the question you ask, now you can ask this at the end of every meeting, all right? So what I've been doing is asking the question at the end of every call, not all of them, but, you know, quite a few of them. And I ask, what are the three big takeaways from this call? All right, and what happens then is it makes you think, okay, quick, what did I learn from this call? What am I going to do? What am I going to do differently because this call happened? Right? Well, what should I remember from this call? So then you write them, I write them down, you write them down. Those are the three big things that we learned from this call. So that works for me. And what it does is it moves it from your short-term memory to your long-term memory. And that's the biggest challenge we have in teaching and coaching, is to get things into your brain so it becomes your idea. So in terms of clients, you can do it the same way and simply say, after a call, say, you know, I just want to check in with you and see what is it that you valued from this call. Okay, so that you can do with every call. And that's very helpful to you, by the way. And then a couple times a year, or maybe even more, you can ask the question, what are the three things that you valued from your experience working with our team this year? And I like to ask it in threes because it makes them think. And oftentimes the third one, which is one you might never hear about, is the most important one because they've had a little time to think about it. So what are the three things that you valued from working with our team this year? And then you can always go, by the way, is there anything else? That's a great question. Okay, so what are the three things that you value from working with our team? And then you can do it in, you know, Bill Cates wrote a book on Get More Referrals Now, and there's a lot of different ways you can do it. Oh, by the way, the other piece that I like to use now, which I wasn't using, is there any way that, do you have any suggestions on how we might improve our service? Or improve your experience in the last year. And then it becomes more like a real survey. And that can be as helpful as anything for you. And you've got to be willing to, you know, to listen. Because it may not be something you want to hear. But you know what? It's good. It's good because then the client gets it off their chest and you learn and then you can make the adjustments.
Yep.
All right, so then you can go into as simple as, you know, please don't keep us a secret. That's a simple one. Please don't keep us a secret. We're always interested in meeting new folks like yourself that you think would be a good fit. So we're always interested in meeting folks like yourself that you think would be a good fit. See, that says a lot, right? It means they would meet our minimums. They're nice people. And you think we'd get along well. So that's about as soft as you can get. And I think you could use that all the time. I mean, not every call, but I mean, you could use it any time you meet with somebody. And you'd never be embarrassed because it sounds too, you know, too wanting or something.
Mm-hmm.
And literally at the end of every call, you could go, oh, remember, don't keep us a secret. And they'd laugh, go, okay, yeah, okay. Because people want to introduce you. They just forget. You know, the statistics are amazing. It's like 87% of normal satisfied clients would like to introduce you, but they just forget. But with Supernova, I mean, your client satisfaction goes through the roof. So you're going to be up in the 95% category that want to introduce you. But they forget.
Rob, I'm curious with the, we sent out the yearly service commitment, call reminders, 24-month calendars. I'm hoping to hear a story one day where we get a referral because the client says, oh, I was going to have a, you know, I was going to go to the mall with a friend of mine, and all of a sudden I told her, oh, no, this is my monthly call with my financial advisor. I think that alone hopefully will solicit some conversation.
What happens is when somebody starts complaining about their lack of great experience, then it becomes such a large contrast to what you're getting. That's when they speak up. But it's pretty rare. You really can't wait for that. It's just too rare. You know, and you've had good markets, so there's not a lot of reason for people to be, you know, making those hard decisions. I had a guy change. I had dinner with him, and he was asking me about my experience, and he was with Merrill Lynch, and I told him, you know, what I got for service and what I got for my experience and what I thought was reasonable, and he wasn't even coming close to that. Now, he knows I was in the business, and he knows I coach, and he's on LinkedIn with me. And so he told me the other day, you know, he said, you know, I finally got up the nerve to move. I moved, you know, but I moved within Merrill, but I moved to a new advisor. I said, good for you. Because he wasn't getting anything. And his performance was awful. You know, it was stupid. This guy was trying to be smart, you know. And so anyway, people do talk, but not that much. I think you need to really ask. And when you ask, you're really just reminding them of what they'd like to do. And I think if you keep that in the back of your mind all the time, these clients really want to refer me. They just have to be reminded. And I think with both of you guys, it sounds like that's the case. I mean, your clients seem very satisfied. I mean, I haven't interviewed them, but I bet if I did, they would be very satisfied and maybe even enthusiastically endorsing. So when you get that kind of situation, when you ask this value question, you're going to find out how much they value you. And, of course, that's why you ask the question, so you get them enthusiastically endorsing you right there. And then they're like, oh, yes, I really do want to introduce you. So, anyway, that's important. Make sure that in your 24-month calendar, guys, you're introducing, which I know you are, but you're introducing lending, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we do that. We don't actively go after it. It's just really kind of looking for opportunities for people to say, you know, hey, I may need to liquidate some stocks. I've got to, you know, make a down payment on a house or, you know, stuff like that. We're trying to identify those opportunities like that, but we're not actually going out and asking people to need more money.
Well, I think it's really important. I've got two children, and both of them, I created lines of credit for them so they would not have to go through the hassle of mortgages. And, you know, it's just a convenience for them and for me. I mean, it's something I can do, securitized loan, cheaper than a mortgage, and I can lock in a rate for 5 years that's still cheaper than a mortgage. And, you know, it's a way of me helping my kids without really costing me anything. You know, they're going to pay me back. They're going to pay, you know, principal and interest, and I'm setting up the loans. So what it does is it helps your clients help their family without giving them money, which is a great thing that you can do. I'm helping my brother consolidate his credit card loans with a line of credit. He just, you know, he's not in the same financial situation I am. He had a bunch of credit cards, and I consolidated it all and made it one loan, and he'll pay me back or not, but I think he will. So it's one of those things that should go on the calendar. Because most people aren't educated on securitized loans. They really don't. They don't even know they exist. Okay.
We're looking at landing, but maybe not as aggressively as you're suggesting. But you know, we always tell everybody, you know, when it comes to us, we do financial planning for that the best investment they can make is their own debt. So we always encourage them to pay off their debt before they invest money.
I keep a mortgage, but it's because it makes sense, you know. I mean, it's at a very low rate, and I can make more on the other side, and as long as that's the case, I'll keep the mortgage. When I can't, I'll pay it off. But it's, so I think debt is a smart way to, I mean, if you were a company, you would be, just think of it as a family office group or a corporation. And how you'd manage the debt and how you'd leverage it up and how you'd use it to help other people and so forth. So I think when you have the ability to make other people's lives better through your accumulation of wealth, it's a wonderful thing to do, and you don't have to give them money.
I would just say for my client that I would be giving you a different conversation than what you have been getting. We'll leave it at that. In other words, I would have a different opinion about your how you're using the debt than what you're using.
Well, you know, we've been all blessed.
If you ever want to have an honest conversation with me, just call me back sometime and I'll tell you what I think. But
look, there's always two different ways of looking at lots of different things, but, you know, from my point of view, I've been very blessed to have had the ability to accumulate wealth and compound it over time. And other people haven't had that, either like my brother, who's never had any money, and my children who are yet...
Let me ask you this. In 5 years, when that agreement you have with your kids on their mortgage comes up and interest rates on a mortgage then is 5 or 6%, what are you going to do? Are you going to charge them the same thing that you're charging them now? In which case you get hurt. Mm-hmm. Or are you going to increase your rate to 4 or 5%, which they get hurt? So you're not matching the life of the liability with the life of the asset. And that's your problem.
Right. No, I understand that. But I'm not a banker. This is a charitable situation. It is not a business situation. Okay? If it was a business situation, I'd match it up. That would make sense. But this is not business. This is charity. This is like giving the money to my kids. Okay? So if you're blessed to be in the position that I am, you can do that. You know, some people can't, so you'd want to match it up. But in my case, I can. I can do whatever I want. And it's not going to affect my lifestyle in the least. And you've got a lot of clients like that. And they desperately want to help their children without actually giving them money. So it's a nice way to do that. So, I mean, look, you can think about it, but I'm actually doing it. And I can tell you how it feels. Okay, and it feels really good.
Hey,
sometimes when you help people, sometimes it isn't the right thing to do. You know, you don't feel quite as good about it. But this one feels really good all the way through. So I'm okay with it.
And, Paul, the way we do a lot of, I mean, we almost sign up LALs when people come in, or PLAs, whatever they're calling them today. And I've got a client in New York right now buying a co-op. She's going to use it for about a 30-day piece because co-ops don't allow her to do mortgages. She hates selling her stock right now because she deals with capital gains so much. So my main point behind it is that something's going to come up someday where you're going to need to make a situation, you're going to need to make a decision on buying a car for your son or your grandson or writing a check for a apartment you find that you want. And I said, this line is not a long-term deal. It's short-term liquidity. That when you get back in the house on Monday after this weekend trip in Colorado, you call me and say, hey, we bought a condo in Breckenridge. how do we pay for it? We went ahead and wrote the check on the PLA. Now, how do we pay for it? So it's short-term decisions. And I would use the story that my largest client, I proposed the PLA to her three or four different times. She kept refusing it. And then she called me up one day and she goes, "Hey, I'm getting a car for my grandson. I need to write a check on that line of credit we have." And I said, "We never got it. We talked about it five times, but you never got it." And we ended up rushing all the paperwork together for her to do it. And then she paid it off within a week. But again, I just tell people, I said, there's going to come a moment, whether it's a hurricane that blows your house roof off and the insurance company isn't going to pay you for 45 days, or you have a decision you need to make, it's short-term liquidity. That's all it is. Let's go ahead and sign it and get it in place. And I'm amazed how many people have a client that has a condo in D.C. They're older. They're walking up and down the stairs all the time. They walked down the stairs and saw the bottom unit was for sale. They wrote a check and bought it. They listed their first condo. It sold. They paid it off. It's short-term liquidity.
Yeah, we use them. You know, the only problem I've run into doing that, and I know we don't need to get off on this topic, but like it does do some things to your account that limits. Like I had one on my own account. And when Bank of America was 12, I wrote a cashless option where what I did was I sold the put, took the cash, and bought calls.
Right.
And immediately started making money. And then about a week later, I get a call saying I had to bust the trade because I had a LAL agreement in place on my asset, and that even though I hadn't accessed it, that limited me from using options. And so, I mean, that did not make me happy. And if it had been a client, it would have been, I might have lost the client.
Yeah.
So you need to care for some, you know, it puts restrictions on
right.
Something.
No, no, there's no question. You're going to get, it's securitized loan. That's why they call it that. So, it's definitely it's a big boy. It's not a...
Yes, I mean, I know. So what we do is, Pam can she can get one set up in about a day. So you know, we got to where we don't just have them on file. If it's needed, we put them in place and do it quickly.
I agree.
Also, that issue of tying it ties up what you can do with those assets.
Right.
And sometimes you could, it's one of those things that's like flying an airplane. Most of the time, it's safe and don't have to worry about it. Those few times you get into bumpy. And the client all of a sudden, you know, like in my case, have been making a lot of money, and I tell him he's got to bust the trade, and you know, then all of a sudden you lose a $2 or $3 million client over something that you didn't see coming, and was not necessary to do. But anyway, that's my thoughts on that.
That's right. No, that's smart. You got to know what you're doing. You can't be a, it's a serious business. Lending money and borrowing money is always serious business. Anyway, so what value did you receive, or what two or three things did you get out of this call that you would like to share?
Well, I like the conversation about that you were talking about where. You just, it's just not imposing on the client when you, ask, to the way you were asking it for a referral. I mean, or to recommend you, I think that's kind of the way to do it. So I like that
right.
Idea.
Good.
I like Chris's, idea of going after the center of influence. Well, we have not been doing it. We need to. I mean, it sounds like you have success at it. So I guess I only got two things. I'll think of something else.
Well, and here's a neat thing, Paul, for the centers of influence. We ended up, because when we did our niches, Rob said find out the groups that pop up. We have a lot of attorneys, a lot of civil suit and mass tort attorneys. And so we ended up getting a meeting with a manager of the biggest law firm here in town, not to pursue his business, but just a couple of the attorneys there said, hey, you ought to meet with this guy. And we overviewed for him what we did, and he started talking about all the opportunity within his firm of attorneys that never meet with financial advisors, and then I sent him a copy of a book from a conversation we had that he was interested in. That's not somebody I would have ever thought of to be a COI, but it kind of opened up when you started diving into what is my niche and where can I, find some COIs in that niche.
That's smart. Very good. Okay.
What I learned.
If you go ahead.
Travis?
Yep. Travis said ditto.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very short and sweet. If you guys put together business plans in the next, you know, couple of weeks, please copy me in on them so that I can help or critique or add to, okay? I think it would be fun.
Okay.
So that's your homework, business plans.
All right. All right, Derek. Hey, congratulations on all the Forbes thing. That's great.
Yeah, really, big time.
Well, I haven't told anybody really because, you know, it's one of those things that if you start telling clients about it, and then all of a sudden it changes their mind. Corp changes their mind before the release and it actually come out.
So you wait until the ink is on the certificate, huh?
Yeah, right. Because I'm waiting for any minute for them to come back and say, you know, we've really made a terrible mistake. It was not Paul Wynn. It was Paula Wynn.
That's all right. You're funny, Paul.
All right. I'll see you later.
Bye, man.
All right. Talk to you
soon. Bye.
Yeah.